to open your Bible with me to first, and I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I was ambitious to say that we're going to finish chapter 2. And then the more I look at it, the more I realize it's going to be a little bit bigger bite. If I try to hurry, we may have to miss something. And I decide I'm not in a hurry, and it's not like I'm racing against somebody, so I decided, why not split in two? So we're going to split in two all the way through the verse 12. There will be the first section talking about the eschatology and talking about the Antichrist. And from verse 13 through 17 is about the encouragement for those who are suffering. I think it's a great, even though they connect together, but I think it will be better for us to have a two different area. So let's start with verse 1. But I don't know if any of you actually experienced earthquake. I've never had experienced the earthquake. You did? California, of course. So some of you guys experienced the earthquake, but I was told by some of the people that it's not like any other experience, because once the ground starts to shake, there's nothing is stable. And this natural phenomenon, some people made a movie, some people wrote a book about it, and they come up with a lot of different things. However, that is limited in the regional area. But once the wrath of God poured down around the earth after the rapture, it's a completely different story. Nothing will be stable all around the world. So God will take care of the situation when those people said, well, I'm not trusting you, you are not my God, and He's going to judge them. Apparently, church members of the Thessalonica, somehow they thought that they missed the boat. They missed the rapture. They missed this time of being raptured. So they thought that they're going to go through the great tribulation time. Somehow they received a letter that pretend to be from the Apostle Paul, or somebody told them that, yeah, you guys missed it, and now you're in the day of the Lord, during the time of the great tribulation. So they are disturbed. They are confused. So Apostle Paul is writing letter to them, the second letter to them, and saying that come now, guys, this is not the time of the day of the Lord. This is not the great tribulation. You did not miss rapture. So cool down, take a chill pill, relax. So that's where it is, and we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word we are about to receive. A lot of people come up with a different concept about the what's going to be the end time like. And there's excitement. There's a fantasy. However, we want to hear from you. We don't want to hear from the movie writer or novel writers, but we want to hear from the one who is going to make it happen. Let our heart be prepared. Don't let us be the one who just excited about prophecy and not caring about the one who is going to make it happen. You build our character, godly character in our heart, that we may be prepared for anything that come across. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 2 in 2 Thessalonians. Everybody received this sermon outline note? Anyone didn't get it? Do we have extra copies? Okay. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, underline, would you gathering together, please? Underline, gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Some of your virgins said they have the Lord, some of your virgins said they have Christ. What's the difference? There's a slight difference, but at this point, this should be translated as the day of the Lord. That's a more accurate translation. What is the purpose of the Bible prophecy? It is not about the making a calendar, setting a date, or no, scratching our prophecy, itching prophecy bone, so we can get some satisfaction. But to build a godly character, preparing our heart for any kind of situation. Apostle Paul is emphasized the fact that this is Thessalonican people, that you didn't miss the boat, you didn't miss the rapture. But there are always the silly people who try to set the date. When Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the hour. In Greek, that is, nobody knows the day and the hour, right? In Korean, it's that nobody knows the day and hour. But some people say, oh, I have a special revelation, so I know the date. It's one thing for the silly people to come up with that kind of thing, but it is a sillier people to say, oh yeah, and they buy the books. The silly people who set the date, most of the time, you're trying to come up with some opinion? And those people are trying to get quickly rich or to get famous in the Christian realm. I hate to agree with the Bill Clinton, but this is correct. Bill Clinton says, sucker's born every 5 minutes. That I agree. Because some of the Christians are pretty much suckers. They will come up with a new wind of doctrine, and they will agree with that kind of thing. How often do we see the world? If you've been a Christian for some time, you heard a new wind of doctrine. Guess what? There's a followers. Why that happened? Because they do not study the Word of God. They just think that because those people are on TV or on the radio, they think that they are right. They don't compare the Word of God. The Bereans, when they heard from the Apostle Paul during his missionary journey, when they heard the Word of God, what did they do? They go home, compare with the Word of God. They study the Word of God. They didn't just say, okay, Apostle Paul, you're the one, you're the man, so I'm going to just follow you. As I said before, I can quote the verses quite a lot from this book, but I ask you to turn your Bible to that verse. What's the reason for it? Because I want you to look at it. I want you to look at it in context. Everything has to be in context. Apostle Paul talked about that this rapture. Keep your finger right there for 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go to one book before, chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, please. Paul is telling them to calm down and cool off, because the truth is being taught to them. Verse 16 of chapter 4. The Lord himself, who would that be? That would be Jesus. Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet of what? Who? God. It does not say trumpet of angel. Some of the people will tell, those who believe the post-trip said, well, this is the trumpet that mentioned in the book of Revelation during the tribulation time. Difference is the trumpeter. Trumpeter here is God himself. He's the one who's blowing the trumpet. Seven trumpet mentioned in the book of Revelation during the tribulation time, what? It's done by the angels, seven angels. So make a clear distinction. Let's go back. Trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. How would you like to be the grave digger on that day? Then we who are alive remain shall be caught up. Would you underline, caught up, circle, highlight, all those things. And together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. That will be an ultimate flying experience, don't you think? As a couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to fly with a sheriff deputy. he said when we were in the back of the mountain Lemmon, there was nobody around, and within about 20 miles the radius, he said, okay, now you can fly. So I got to hold this yoke, and one moment I was 500 feet below, and the next moment I was another 500 feet above. I couldn't just keep that thing steady. I was going up and down like yo-yo. And he said, you have to anticipate the next how it's going to work. When we fly, when we go rapture, we don't need airplane, we don't need hang glider, we're just going to fly high. That will be the real high, getting high, right? Before the Lord pour out his wrath against Satan and his partner in crimes during the tribulation time, something must happen. What would that be? That would be rapture. This thing that known as rapture, that with that is the beginning of the sign of the great tribulation. That once the church is out of the world, and God will pour out his wrath against these people. The day of the Lord, the definition, here's the definition. The day of the Lord is a period that followed the rapture. That means right from the beginning of a tribulation, 7-year tribulation, it will be the time of tribulation for the people on earth. Satan and his host will be walking on earth, and God will send righteous judgment from heaven. And he is going to be the one who is going to pour out the wrath. It's right. Known as righteous indignation. Now, the liberal Christians or the liberal Christian denomination people are agnostic. By the way, what's the meaning of agnostic? And ignorant, exactly. Ignoramar, that's where the Greek word. When somebody says I'm an agnostic, then saying I'm a fool, I'm an ignorant person, that's what it meant. Anyway, this agnostic would say, hey, there is no word rapture in the Bible. That is absolutely correct. However, I ask you to underline the word caught up in 1 Thessalonians. That word caught up is in the Greek word hapazo. That can be translated in Latin word rapture. That's where we get the English word rapture. So word caught up with the Lord, that means that's where the rapture word is coming up. Rapture is one of the most basic, one of the most important events that happened during the end time prophecy, and also known as eschatology. If you ignore the rapture, you have to ignore the probably about 80% of end time prophecy. Anyone who said that they can ignore the rapture, they have no idea what they're talking about. I'm sure that many of you heard the word argument between pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pan-trib, and I don't care trib. Mid-trib, I'm sorry, to start with the pre-trib, that means rapture will happen before the 7-year tribulation. Those who believe mid-trib, it will happen right in the middle of the tribulation time. Those who said a post-trib will be the right after the 7-year tribulation and before the second coming of Jesus Christ, it will happen. We'll go one at a time. And pan-trib is somewhere in between. I don't know where else, but somewhere in between. Let's leave the pre-trib alone and then we'll go to the mid-trib. They said it will happen right in the middle of it. What did Jesus say about the date of rapture or hour of rapture? Anybody knows? Nobody knows, right? Then, during the time that it's going to happen, right smack dab in the middle of a 7-year tribulation is when Antichrist put himself in the holy temple of Israel and declared that I am God. Well, then everybody should say, "What? Yeah, you know, I think this is the time for us to get raptured." All of a sudden, that mid-trib theology just went out the window. Post-trib, we're going to talk about the thing a little more in detail later, but it's another way to think about it. Post-trib, okay, if you are God, You brought the hellish thing, wrath, on earth to the people on earth. That's including your followers. And then, right before you come down and demolish the Satan and his cohort, you bring people up and come go back down with them. Does it make sense to you? God is a logical God. God is a God of order. Would he say, okay, come up here so we can go down? Doesn't make sense. Tribulation, and there's no biblical base whatsoever. So, a lot of people say, well, my theology is correct, mid-trib, post-trib, pan-trib. I can back it up with the Bible verses, but they are doing it out of context. Majority of believers of Jesus Christ believe pre-trib. Very little people believe pan-trib. Very little people believe mid-trib. Few good number of people believe post-trib. But what they're forgetting is, well, they said, especially in Matthew chapter 24, there is a black horse, talking about the different disaster and all, as well as a revelation. There's a black horse, red horse, pale horse, and I forgot that the other yellow horse. Talking about that, they said it's about the church. No, it is not about the church. It's about Israel. The person who gets attacked by those four disasters are not church. During the tribulation time, there's no mention of the what? Church. So, let's go back to this verse 1 and 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord, our Jesus Christ, and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Think with me. You know, I've studied this many times. I argue about the pre-trib position where all the Calvary Chapel stand, and I argue about it with the cross-reference verses. Not until this time. This time when I read that thing and then dawned to me, this is a clear definition of pre-trib. If you are Thessalonican, if you believe post-trib, why would you worry about going through difficult time? If you go through a difficult time, wow, the rapture is going to happen pretty soon. Wouldn't that be a logical thing? Are you with me? If you're a mid-trib person, you're going through a difficult time again, and sometime in, as soon as that major disaster started to happen, you start to count the day, 3.5 years, you will be raptured. So you count that day too. But these people were confused, they're anxious, and not anxious, they were shaken by the, we must miss the rapture, so we're going through this difficult time. What does it mean? We must miss the rapture. We are going through a difficult time. That means it's nothing more than what? Pre-trib. Pre-tribulation. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? Or you don't understand? You just sit there, I don't care. That look. If not, I'll explain all over to you. Make sense? So you want me to just go on, continue?
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Good, thank you. So, this is the place, yes.
I've heard post-trippers say that they can't wait until the day of the Lord comes because they can count the year for when the Lord will come back. That's what they say. Post-trippers.
Yeah, they're taking out of context.
They're looking forward to the day of the Lord. I don't want to be here.
Exactly. I told you many times I'm a wuss, I'm a wimp. I don't want a pain. Why do I want to go through the 7 years of pain? No thanks. You want to go through? Stay here. how could they come up with the idea unless the Apostle Paul taught them that rapture would happen before the tribulation? They couldn't. If the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, enough to teach them and write them the scripture as a pre-trib, it doesn't matter what kind of theology people come up with. Bible said it, I don't have to believe it. You know, J. Vernon McGee, that old Southern preacher said, Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. No, that is incorrect. Bible says it, bottom line. Whether I believe or not, that's the bottom line. Let's move to the verse 3. At this speed, we will not finish the second Thessalonians for a long time. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the death day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God. Underlined, he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Apostle Paul did not use the term Antichrist in his letter. Any of his letter does not mention Antichrist. Guess who used it? Apostle John in 1 John and 2 John. Then how the Apostle Paul designated this person, the Antichrist? He said, as we just read, that he is a man of the sin, he is the son of perdition, or the lawless one. That's how he called this person. Satan has been war against God from the day, ever since he challenged God in Isaiah chapter 14, and he said, I shall exalt myself like the Most High. And like a little bug, God just tweaked him with a little finger, and there it goes. And one third of the angels and himself went down. Ever since then, he has been at war against God. And since he cannot win God, at least he will go against the one who has the image of God. Who would that be? Adam and Eve. That's where he tempted Eve, and because of that, then of course Adam fell. Perdition. Here is the meaning of that. Perdition means destruction and complete loss of well-being. It is really the opposite of salvation. Salvation, he's saving us, and the perdition is destroying us. To call him the son of perdition means that he's a character marked by this destruction. When I said that Satan is at war against God, that doesn't mean that they are really fighting against each other. Let's think that there is a little net in front of you. You're holding that net. You could squash that thing any time. And net said, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. You look at it, it's like, yeah, right. That's pretty much but it's kind of a picture of God and Satan. Satan says, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to kill you, God. But God looked at him, it's like, yeah, what are you going to do with your strength? Satan will one day produce his masterpiece, Antichrist, who will cause the world to worship Satan and believe the Satan's lie. Greek word prefix anti has a double meaning. One is against one, and the other one is instead of. When you put the antibiotic is what? That things hurt you. Anti is against the biotic and virus. And the Antichrist is against Christ as well as instead of Christ. What's the background meaning is? He wants to be worshipped like Christ. Instead of Christ. Let's take a look at the character of the Antichrist for a while. Keep your finger there again. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. And some of you may say, if we are not going to be here during the tribulation, who cares about the Antichrist? Well, that's a good point. You don't have to learn. You can just get up and leave if you would like to. He is a peacemaker. Verse 2 says, "And I looked, and behold, the white horse, he who sat on it, had a bow." Note that word, and there's nothing else. "A crown was given to him. He went out conquering and to conquer. This man is coming to sin before the rapture." And I believe Antichrist, that the Antichrist is already in the picture. We just don't know who that is. Some people really work hard to find out who the Antichrist is. Detour that much energy, that much effort toward knowing Christ instead of knowing Antichrist. You hear me? By the way, I thought it's almost impossible. Remember in the study of the book of Revelation, some of you guys know that this Antichrist had a crown. It has a 10 crowns, 10 horns coming out. Remember? Each horn representing the country, or the nation. And the background of Antichrist is from Europe. So I was thinking, okay, European Union, there's how many countries there now? Any of you guys remember? How many countries in European Union? Jack Laverty, you were there. I know. 17. You flunk. 13. Do I hear 5? Do I hear 12? Going once. Going twice. 29. So how in the world is God going to come up with a 29 country, a 10 country out of 29 countries? I said, that's impossible, God. Little I knew. European Union is divided in two. Do you know that? East and West European Union. Guess how many regions each European Union, the East and Western European Union has? 5. 5 regions in the Eastern European Union, 5 in the Western European Union region. Guess how many? 10. Thank you. The riders on the white horse imitate Christ as if the conquering king. He has a crown. Crown was given to him. He could not be a conqueror unless authority was given to him. He has a bow but no arrow. He's bringing the brief time of peace to the world before the storm of the day of the Lord break loose. I think they're having more fun than we do here. Let's go to the Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 is right after Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 9 is one of the most important chapters you will find in eschatology study. Chapter 9, verse 25. "Know therefore, understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and street shall be built again, and the wall, and even the troublesome time. And after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off," note the word, "but not for himself. And people of a prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be a flood, with a flood, until the end of the world, the desolation is determined. Then he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering, and one on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, and even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on desolate." And some of you are thinking, what are you talking about? This 7 weeks and 62 weeks and all this stuff. Who cares, right? But God cares. This is the prophecy that he talks about. We cannot go into detail. This, of course, is Dome of Rock. this picture is taken from the Mount Olive. When you go to the Israel, you will see it. The east, soon as I dig out my pointer. See this little wall? There's a little holes, the gate. That is the east, supposedly eastern gate, and should be moved down about this far down here. Anyway, this Dome of Rock is, what is it? What is the Dome of Rock? Mosque. Exactly. It's a Muslim temple or whatever gathering place. And there's one of the Meccas, or four Meccas that they are designated. It's literally sitting on the powder keg of the wall. Anything happened there, it just goes out to the all over. It's like somebody pushing the time bomb button. Antichrist will come, he will make a peace with the people, and he will somehow allow the Muslim people to allow the Israeli people to build the holy temple right next to it. As a matter of fact, Dome of the Spirit is located right here, about 50 feet away from the Dome of Rock. And in my opinion, and a lot of the Bible scholars agree that that is the correct location for the Holy of Holies, where the Holy of Holies was designated. So, somehow he will allow these people to build this thing. And he come as a protector. First, the prophecy applied to Israel, not the church. The Jerusalem and temple, not to the church. Second is, it announced the time when the Messiah will come, accomplish certain purpose for the Jewish people. It said 7 weeks. The weeks, in, of course, is known as, also can be interpreted as the years. So 7 weeks is 7 years times seven. 49 years. And that's where the King Artaxerxes says, okay, you guys can go back and build the wall, build the Jerusalem. You count that plus 62 weeks times 7, 16, total 69 weeks. Then it will go all the way, they will build the wall, that's the exact date. From that date, again, add 62 times 7, that's the 436, yeah, something like that. Anyway, it comes to the point that when you calculate date is, okay, 1 year in Jewish calendar is what? How many days? 365? No, 360 days. Times that years, then it comes to the 173,800 days. From King Artaxerxes and to the Palm Sunday when King Jesus came into the Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, that is the exact date of Jesus coming in. It says, let's go back to verse 27. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, 26. After 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Guess what that is? Crucifixion. But not for himself. And this is where it's not, there's a time period. Between 69th weeks and 70th weeks, there's a big time. What is the time? This time. That's the time of Israel. Israel was not the, became a country until when? 1948. So prophecy could not be fulfilled until 1948. After that, this country started to survive. And now to the point where it is at ready. Antichrist is bring the temporal peace during this time in the Middle East. Somehow he made people to allow this thing to be built. Third character of Antichrist is a peace breaker. After 3.5 years, that he made a 7-year covenant. That's the last week. 1 week period. Remember, as we just read in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. If you'd like to know a little more in detail, you can visit our church website, ccos.org. Click the sermon archives. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. You can read everything in more in detail. Will make sense to you. Anyway, when you go after 3.5 years from the time when he signed the covenant, that's the time when rapture happen. That's the right smack dab in the middle of the tribulation. He will present himself as God in holy temple. He's declaring that he is the one they should worship. Our Lord Jesus called this event as abomination of desolation. He mentioned it in Matthew 24:15. And the clear reference is mentioned in 9:27 in the book of Daniel. Why is not the church? Why is not it's not about the church, but rather it's about Israel? It's because the church is not in the tribulation time. Remember, church raptured, there's no church left. And you may say, well, what about those people who started and get saved during the tribulation time? That's not what, according to the Bible, it doesn't call it as a church. The world will be in wonder because this Antichrist will do the signs and wonders and with the lying wonders. And, of course, they respect him and because he has such a high charisma. Fourth character would be a persecutor. Satan will unleash his wrath against Israel. Also, he will control the whole economy with the mark of beast. Anyone who do not have a mark of beast will not be able to buy or sell. If you'd like to know more about my opinion regarding the mark of beast, you can study in the book of Revelation. So again, you can read that thing in the sermon archive and our website. Let's continue verse 6, chapter 2 in 2 Thessalonians. Verse 6, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. On the line, next phrase, please. Only he who now restrain, capital he, who now restrain, will do so until he is taken out of the way. On the line, highlight, taken out of the way. Why is Satan unable to rebuild his masterpiece Antichrist now or start doing his own thing now? Because he's restrained by God. Satan can only do what he is allowed to do. You know, Hollywood tried to portray that Satan has this ultimate power and fight against God toe to toe. Never like that. As I said before, it's like you're holding a net and you can squeeze that net anytime you want. Far worse than that. God can say, you know, Satan, you're no more. Then he's gone. But God is using Satan for his glory. So who is this restrainer? Of course, we know that it is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one who is allowing Satan to do a certain amount of work and not anything more. Also, Holy Spirit is using the church, body of Jesus Christ like us, to restrain the evil things. Can you imagine what would happen if there is no one who would fight against this, the lawmakers in America who are trying to pass the homosexuality laws, or the Ninth Circuit Appeal Court in San Francisco? Anything that come out from there is nothing more than the worst decision you will ever find in judicial branch. Verse 7 brings in much confusion. As it said, he will be taken out of the way. At the beginning of my Christian life, somehow I was taught that the Holy Spirit will leave the earth with the believer of Jesus Christ. How many of you guys were heard that way? Several of us. When the rapture happened, the Holy Spirit will go with us. That's why all hell break loose and Satan can have his way on earth. I believe that for a long time, until a few years ago, I studied the book of Revelation to teach you guys, and then I thought, that's not right. That cannot be. Because why? What is the Holy Spirit's main job? Pointing people to who? Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit people get to know Jesus Christ and receive whom into their heart? Jesus, but who lives in their heart? Holy Spirit, right? If the Holy Spirit leaves the earth, who's going to go into their heart? Nobody, right? So it cannot be. Let me put it this way. The Satan is coming this way, and if I'm the Holy Spirit, I'm the one who is blocking him so far. When the rapture happens, guess what the Holy Spirit does? He just steps out of the way, let the Satan have his way. Am I making sense to you? Holy Spirit is still on earth to bring people to Christ, because there are a lot of people who get saved during the tribulation time. What does the Tim LaHaye call those people? Tribulation force? I don't know. Who come up with that kind of... It's not biblical word, but it's you know what that means. People get saved during the tribulation time. Those people are a product of the Holy Spirit's ministry. So Holy Spirit is not taken out of the earth, but he simply stepped aside so the evil can do their own things. Holy Spirit is taken out of the way of Satan so that the devil can bring this havoc, but not removed from the earth. Let's move down to the verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And coming of lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all the unrighteous deception. That would be a funny thing, righteous deception. How come you guys don't stop me for me to say that again? Gee, guys, wake up. Unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. With a mere breath, the Lord mouth is one side, fight will be over. In the beginning, God created a lot of things with a command. Let there be light, there is a light. It was not like Edison tried 10,000 times and finally got it down. It was not like that. He made the world into existence out of nothing. Similarly, during the end time, God will merely breathe and his arch enemy, Satan, will be cast into a lake of fire. Just because someone has a spiritual power and do some sign of wonders, that doesn't mean we should consider him or her as that's a proof enough for they are from God. But rather, we should see what they do, what they say. Satan can perform his own powerful work and with a deception and in his own power. Deception can only take the root of those who do not receive the love of truth. If people want to believe that kind of deception, they will not accept the truth of God. Some of you guys have a family member, so do I, who choose not to believe Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. And you may say that, well, when I get to heaven, I will be sad because they won't be there. Trust me, you will not be sad because you will have a heart of God and they will have a heart of evil and you no longer become family, you become enemy. You might say that, too bad they are not here, but you will not be sad for them because they make a conscious decision as you made a conscious decision to follow God. Some people will do anything to avoid the truth of God and righteousness of God. That's their own decision. Let's make one application. The proposal of the biblical prophecy is not for us to make a calendar nor to scratch our itching prophecy bones, but to build godly character in us. to prepare our heart. So don't get excited about this prophecy, or especially that some people come up with, I have this special revelation from God telling me you must have a bad pizza night before. Because the only revelation we have and we need is the last book of 66 book in the Bible. That's all you need. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Let us put your word in our heart that we may not be disillusioned or deluded by the evil things. But let us regard your word as our guidance, our lifeline. We thank you and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.